In Jesus' name, amen. Our text is verse 10 of Isaiah chapter 54. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. This verse really stands not only just before the text or the lesson that was read, but as the platform for all that is said in that reading, which tells of how God's people, his church, shall be afflicted and shall be tossed about like flotsam and jetsam on the sea, but which he would safeguard and protect, to which he would bring peace and comfort, which he would bring righteousness and justice, which he would deck with the finest of jewels, precious stones, which he would defend, keep very safely and securely against all opponents or all enemies. For he is indeed the sovereign Lord, and he will guard that which is his heritage, his church, his people. There's something especially beautiful, I think, and very stirring, trenchant power in the wording of the Authorized Version on verse 10, the King James Version. The mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. But almost the music that flows through this rendering puts the NIV far to shame, I think, for the beauty of the language. As text is describing, as God would view the whole of creation, the fact that there is so much that is of it which is temporary, over against that which is enduring, that transient, over against that which is enduring, or that which is mortal, over against that which is immortal, that which shall depart and be removed or move, and that which abides. The dual thrust is there, and we'll address it with two concepts in front of us, these which the text also highlights, the passing and the permanent. First of all, the passing. Man, of course, hardly needs to be reminded of the fact that everything around him is transient, himself as well. He sings and remembers the words, all too well, change and decay in all around I see. It's a theme which is addressed very eloquently, as you may remember, by the preacher in Ecclesiastes. He writes, to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born, and a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. Often the poets, likewise, have gotten hold of the transitoriness of life. For example, the English lyric poet Robert Herrick, in a memorable and well-known line, gather ye rosebuds while ye may, old time is still a-flying, and this same flower that smiles today, tomorrow will be dying. But the mountains, people who love the mountains know that they seem to reflect solidness, an imperishable sort of solidity. When you look up at them from the plain down below, they seem to be everlasting in comparison with everything else around you. They seem to be the very epitome or the emblem of enduring permanence, because they're always still there while generations pass by, while men come and go, are like the flowers that are here for a day and then tomorrow are gone. And yet we're quite aware of, even without the text to remind us, that even the mountains can blow their top, like Mount St. Helens did not so long ago, and, as it were, be leveled with the ground. All of it epitomizing, highlighting, and underscoring the fact that the world around us seems to be always in process of splitting apart everywhere. The very word splitting seems to characterize the time in which any generation has ever lived. Split personalities, split families, split morals, split nations, split races, split atoms. The world itself splitting constantly with terror, hunger, strife. Not to mention the splitting headaches we sometimes also have. All to remind us of the fact that everything does seem to be going to pieces around us, and a black mood, as it were, settles upon mankind as a result of this. A mood which is somewhat illustrated, I think, by the story of the man who was about to jump off of the Brooklyn Bridge when he was held back by the policeman. The man showed the policeman the front page of a newspaper that he had been reading. Then they both jumped. Now, that may be the way they do in Brooklyn. They try to accommodate you at every turn there, I think. But it does remind us, I think, of the transitoriness of human life and the mood of depression which prevails as a result of it. But our text does not stop there, with the mountains departing and the hills being removed. But it brings into view the transiency of the transient in order to throw into graphic perspective here the prominence of the permanent, that which does not pass away. But while the world and all things in it are characterized by the things we've looked at, and the world seems to be fit to be untied, God makes this solemn promise to his people, then, the Old Testament, now, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. Not without reason, but living with the fact of the Savior who has come into his life, the Apostle Paul then would share with the Colossians a very important truth concerning their existence, God's promise in that existence. In him all things are held together, or hold together, in the first chapter of Colossians. Now the believer, and all the church with him, is ready to sing the doxology that you have in the book of Revelations. Now unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now unto him who loved us. Here I think probably the preferred rendering would be that of the NIV. To him who loves us. For the present tense comes into the picture here, in relationship to the past tenses that have also preceded. And both are things we should live with. We know all the past tense as Christians. We can recite them, as we did. Born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, was buried, risen from the dead, ascended into heaven, and so on. But the question really is, do we often enough live with the present tense of what God is promising to each one of us now, that he loves us, has made us to be kings and priests, with him, of highest royal station, we stand. With him now. Indeed, no measuring line has ever been strung or ever been run which really can fix the boundaries of this enveloping grace and goodness of our God. And hence the point of the text. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills shall be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, nor shall the covenant of my peace be removed from thee. Thus saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. No wonder that you and I as Christians then can sing and say, just as I am, without one plea, the present tense, but that thy blood was shed for me. Just as I am, thy love unknown has broken every barrier down. And it is the Christian alone, then, who can finish the other sentence, change and decay and all around I see, O thou who changest not, abide with me. Amen. And the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ abide with you all.